Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest, returning guest is Amy Ostreicher, and we're going to be talking about the power of our stories. Everyone has a story, and after Amy's was featured on Today with Kasky Lee and Hoda, she was inspired to bring hers to the New York City stage in 2012. Ever since, it's been Amy's hope to bring out the stories that unite us all. Through telling stories, we feel connection and similarity, yet also define our and create our stories through our own uniqueness. No one else can write the story of our life. It's what makes us unique. Yet we can all relate to certain things and feelings. When we tell our story, we are asking for attention from those we care about or wish to affect. You can find out more about visiting Amy's website, which is amyoes.com, and that's amyoes.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description, as well as Amy has also set up a special page with today's show talking about stories. And so anyway, with that, I'd like to go ahead and welcome Amy to the show. Good day, Amy.
Hey, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on again. It's been a while.
it has been a while. And, you know, one of the things I truly enjoy, you know, we have our Facebook connection, and you are always posting wonderful, uplifting posts and pictures. And to me, that it always brightens my day when I see when you post something.
Oh, thank you. Well, that makes me happy.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to talk about stories. On our last show, we talked about your one-woman show, Gutless and Grateful, and then listeners can go back to my archives and hear that. But one of the things that I noticed that you do is you have a workshop regarding storytelling. But if you wouldn't mind, so let's go ahead and start, first of all, by how you became interested in or really kind of started this journey about storytelling.
Well, I started to become interested in storytelling because, you know, I realized I couldn't really move forward into my life until I saw what I'd been through as a story. I mean, we all grow up with stories and we have those, you know, childhood books that are dear to our hearts. But, you know, sometimes when life throws crazy things at us, it's sort of hard to put ourselves in the same, you know, kind of mindset that, oh, I'm in an adventure story, or, you know, it's mostly like, oh my God, what happened in my life and why me? So I found that sort of by putting myself in that kind of frame that, okay, this is my story and, you know, I'm going to come out triumphantly. And that's how I survived. So that was sort of like a survival skill. But it took me a long time to figure that out. Because, you know, one thing that we have are words. And it seems like a simple thing. But, you know, when I had gone through, you know, something very difficult in my life, I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, I felt like numb and disconnected, you know. I thought, you know, one minute I was like myself, and then, you know, I had a trauma happen where, you know, I was molested and, you know, I had surgeries and medical things, and all of a sudden I didn't feel like who I was anymore. And so, you know, I called a therapist because, you know, that was the logical thing to do. You know, when you go through something hard, you call a therapist. And, you know, I was a nervous wreck. You know, I was saying, you know, I'm anxious, you know, I'm depressed, I don't know what's wrong with me. and I wanted some kind of miracle cure. And she was just very calm, and she just said, you have to speak what happened to you. And, you know, for someone that likes to overcomplicate and overachieve, that didn't sound like that was hard enough to make, you know, to make things better. So I'm like, that's stupid. You know, I'll do that eventually. But then I realized that when I actually tried to speak what happened to me, or even just like express it or write it, you know, I couldn't, because it was hard for me to really be present, you know, with those like hard things. You know, if I spoke it, you know, and used words to describe what happened to me, that would mean it really happened. And so I didn't expect it would take me such a long time to get to the point to say, you know, I was abused, I was traumatized, things like that. And then finally, once I was able to say that, you know, then I could start healing. You know, it's amazing, by just saying those things, it brings up a whole new level of consciousness. And so for me, that came in a lot of layers. You know, before I could speak it, I discovered art, and art was a way of expressing those things before I could put it into words. And slowly my art, you know, was bringing like my emotions to light, and that was how I was telling my story, through art. And then eventually what happened is, you know, what I did the interview with last year about my show Gutless and Grateful, which was really taking all the journaling I had done when I was finally able to write down my story and weave it together with song and tell my story, not only for me, but for, you know, a New York theater crowd of strangers and critics, which is the most vulnerable, you know, fearless way to tell your story for the first time. But once I did, I realized that not only like me, you know, expressing my story for myself was therapeutic, but being able to share my story was like, you know, the ultimate reward. That's when I felt like, wow, you know, my story has a purpose. You know, when we, you know, tell our stories, you know, we don't feel alone. We feel like when I did my show and I heard people laugh, when I heard people cry or applaud, I felt like they had all been through something similar in their lives. And so what happened after that was something interesting. After I did my show the first time, I had a guest book outside. And, you know, people would just start, you know, saying, you know, thank you for your show. And they would start, you know, telling their own stories. And then slowly, you know, people started reaching out to me, you know, online saying, you know, I know you went through something crazy, but, you know, I went through something, you know, and you really inspired me. And all of a sudden, my show was like a springboard for everyone to start telling me, you know, they had been through something hard in their lives. And some people would almost feel bad, you know, saying like, listen, you know, I didn't go through anything like what you went through, but, you know, I still got something out of it because, you know, it felt hard to me. And what I want to share with people is, you know, what I went through might have been, like, shocking. You know, I've had lots of surgeries. My stomach exploded. You know, I went 6 years without eating or drinking. But the emotions I experienced through all those things, you know, I felt, you know, fear. I felt loss. I felt anger. I felt frustration. I felt gratitude. You know, those things are all universal. So it doesn't matter whether you had a breakup or something you think is trivial. You know, people can relate to that, you know, to like those, you know, how you hear about like the archetypal, you know, journey. So anyway, that was what inspired me to start sharing my story. You know, I didn't want people to just walk away inspired that, oh, wow, that's an amazing story. But, you know, I wanted them to walk away empowered that, you know, wow, I felt those things too, and I have a story to tell. When we feel like we can tell stories, you know, we feel empowered, like, wow, I have a place in this world. A story to tell gives you a role, you know, and that gives you a purpose and connection. So.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, you know, I know your story, and it is truly one of those that, it's just like truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, you went through some crazy stuff. The one thing, you know, when you talk about feeling empowered, you know, you want people to feel empowered. Do you feel that just the act of expressing the story, that it, you know, because you mentioned some, you know, negative and challenging types of things that happen. Do you feel that just by telling the story that you kind of take away the power of those things from happening? I mean, you know, from affecting your current life?
Yeah, here's sort of like an example of that. It's the first time I started telling my story through art. So, you know, I talk about this in my show that I discovered art because I was stuck in hospitals and it was a really terrible time and I had nothing to do and my mom brought art supplies. And just like, you know, telling my story in words, I resisted doing anything, you know, for the longest time. And then I remember, one day I woke up and I was just so upset. And I just went to get one of those, you know, canvases because there was nothing else to do. And, you know, I was in such a low place. But what came out is, you know, my piece, Singing Tree, that, you know, people look at now and think it's just like the happiest picture ever. And so for me, the ultimate metaphor that, you know, art can be such a transformative tool. You know, stories can be a transformative tool. You know, the fear and the ugly feelings are still there. You know, they don't go away. But by, like, being with them and expressing them, somehow they become beautiful because we see how they're part of us. You know, that's one thing I've learned about healing. You don't heal by getting rid of bad feelings. That just doesn't happen. You know, you heal by accepting those bad feelings as, you know, sprouting from whatever happened in your life, and you got to work with them. You know, everyone's got something. So it was empowering by telling.
Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
All right.
Go ahead there.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, now I can, yeah. You're going in and out there for a second.
I was saying that was the empowering part about telling my story, that, you know, I had been through all this stuff, but, you know, now all the terrible things are gone, and what remains is just the lessons. And that's why I think, you know, people love scrapbooking, you know, things like that, because, you know, you don't remember, you know, the pain you felt and how it affected you. You know, all you remember is what you learned from it, or that's what you hoped to get from bad experiences, you know? I mean, it's coming from someone who, you know, I always like things to be purposeful, so maybe that's my mindset, that, you know what, if I'm going to go through a hard time, I better have learned something from it, because otherwise it was a waste.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting because when we, you know, when you look at art, you know, there are, it's really, I have a very good friend who, well, he's passed on now, but he had, he was an artist and painted in some, you know, just scenic types of things, and most often in muted colors or dark colors or, you know, that kind of thing. Then he went through a huge mental readjustment, you know. I mean, his whole life just completely fell apart in love, in job, and everything. Then it was like a light bulb switched on, and all of a sudden his art became light and bright and colorful. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. I mean, and after that traumatic time in his life, I mean, he took off. I mean, everything. I mean, people just were drawn like you know, magnets to his art. You know, and it seems that for many people, you know, art can be a wonderful way to work through, you know, those difficult times in life.
Well, yeah, like, you know, art is like a good, you know, self-expression kind of therapy, but it's also like equally a good way to just, you know, connect, because, you know, when you go to a museum, you see something in that art, you know, whatever you see is part of yourself. And that's why I love that art can, any kind of art can act sort of like a mirror, which is cool because, you know, the artist is painting it. So he's having this vision of his feelings, you know, brought to fruition on the canvas. And then we're looking at it, but we take away an entirely different message. And that's why, like, just as important as journaling and writing your story or whatever, you know, equally as important is being able to share it and not being afraid of sharing it. You know, even if you think it's silly, you know, or it's not written well or it's not good enough, you know, whatever you're, however you've expressed that, you know, when we give that story to someone else, it's a gift because it's an opportunity, you know, for them to have their own mirror and get what they want from it. And I feel like connect with our, like, shared experience, like, that's what
we want. You're going in and out again, Amy. Sorry. I don't know what's happening there, but I missed that last sentence.
Oh, no, I said, you know, sorry to get, you know, deep about all this, but that's all stories are. They're just opportunities to act, you know, like a mirror, you know, that we can, you know, we can be exposed to this wide range of experience and we can all feel something. You know, I think that's just a very cool part of being alive, that we're all really different, but we're all really not that different at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, going deep is good. I mean, I, because that when people tell their stories, I mean, it's really what they're trying to do. You're trying to get the essence. You're trying to communicate, you know, the who you are, what your feelings are, what your experiences are, what you've learned from things, and in hopes of enlightening the reader, you know, to you know, the, not only what you went through, but maybe if it's something similar they're going through or someone in their life is going through, that it provides them with an awareness that they can help those folks.
Right. And then another big thing that I know it helps me with, you know, a big thing we all feel is, you know, everyone hates uncertainty. Our existence is uncertain, but, you know, I get anxious when I can't plan the next, you know, a few weeks, you know, and then when life hands us, you know, a situation that, you know, the life we thought just becomes completely altered and we're just in the midst of it, you know, when I ended up in the hospital, you know, when I was completely healthy my whole life, I felt like the rug had been pulled out under me. You know, I felt like the story I had planned for myself, which was, you know, go to college, study musical theater, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, I didn't know where to start. And especially when I was just, you know, subject to just whatever doctor's plans had for me, you know, I felt a big loss of control. And I think the power of creativity and, you know, making your own story is that, you know, your situation doesn't change, but, you know, when I could express things like through art and through writing, I at least felt like I had some kind of control. You know, and I think that's important because when we feel some kind of control, you know, it's empowering. Otherwise, we feel like, you know, I have no choice but to be a victim. You know, telling our stories and expressing ourselves, you know, we can't feel victimized because we have the pen. You know, we have the paintbrush, you know?
Yeah, that's very, very important. Now, you know, you kind of touched on it a couple times. Now, I have talked to many folks who, you know, some of them want to be writers and that kind of thing. And I always tell them, you know, to tell their story, you know, that, you know, everyone has a story. But you would be surprised how many times people come back with the fact that, well, you know, mine's a blah story. I mean, yeah, there's some stuff, but who would want to, you know, read about that, you know, and or my story is, you know, there's nothing to my story, so why even write it? What would you say to people who kind of just minimize, you know, their life experience as being kind of of value?
Well, that's what I was saying, that, you know, after my show, it was almost like people were asking for permission to heal. Like, say, you know, oh, I just went through, like, a tiny little thing in my life. They were almost, like, apologizing for relating to my story. And, you know, I quote, Viktor Frankl quote all the time, where he was a Holocaust survivor. I mean, talk about someone who's been through something. You know, and he still believed that suffering is relative. You know, so it doesn't matter what you feel you've been through in your life. You know, you have a heart, you have emotions, and you react to them. And I think when we read books and stories and hear things like that, we don't really react to the actual circumstance. You know, we react to, you know, we put ourselves in that position, and we react to the emotion felt. You know, we react to the feeling of loss, you know, when we hear someone, you know, lost a life. You know, we relate to the uncertainty when we hear, you know, about like a hurricane, you know, swept some country away, you know. So I feel like, you know, it doesn't matter, because whatever your story is, it can affect someone, you know, and plus, you know, it's how we feel. I mean, whatever you've been through, you know, you deserve to feel. So to feel connected. So I think whatever it, you know, that's why, you know, what's so popular now is those 5-minute, you know, moths, those story slams, where people just do like one-liners about something that happened to them. You know, there's a fascination with, like, you know, what do people go through in everyday life. You know, even on Twitter, you know, you have 140 characters, and, you know, everyone's acting like they have something big to tell. You know, I don't think, just think about it like this. If people are tweeting 140 characters that they just got coffee, then you deserve to write something too. How about that?
That's very true. Yeah, that provides perspective for sure. And
yeah, that's
you know, yeah, it is. You know, and you know, it's, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, you talked about lessons, you know, that if you're going to go through it and live lessons, then, you know, you kind of want to make it purposeful, you know, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, that everybody goes through, everybody's experiences teaches them something, helps, you know, raises their awareness in some way.
Yeah,
let
me say something here, though. You know, it's great, you know, you want it to be purposeful, but sometimes you don't really see the purpose until, you know, you're at the very, very end, or way, way after. You know, when I went through everything, and I'm still going through things because I'm a human, you know, in life, you know, but I said, why me, for the longest time. And slowly, you know, I started to see, like, oh, wow, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have met this doctor. You know, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have had this experience or have learned that. You know, if I hadn't been sick, you know, my brother was in politics. He just, you know, gave up politics and was so inspired by the doctors that he, you know, went back to school, got his post back, and has now been a doctor at Mount Sinai for quite a while. So, you know, sometimes you don't really see the why right away. But the important part is, don't give up if you can't see the why right away. You know, you just got to have faith even when it's hard. And I mean, like, I'm talking from extreme circumstances. Like, when I woke up from my coma, you know, doctors told me I couldn't eat or drink, and they didn't give me a deadline, and they just said, we don't know if, we don't know when. And so I just had to go day after day and just have, you know, and make up hope. I mean, call it like fabricating a story, but, you know, that was a survival skill. You know, that was imperative. Sometimes stories are like survival skills. You know, like, I would read, you know, biographies of like heroes, like, you know, the Central Park Jogger and stories like that, and just on the faith that, you know, if she got through, I can get through. So, you know, it's willing suspension of disbelief and the patience to know that, you know, you won't always, you know, you won't see the bigger picture right away. just patience. And believe me, I know patience is really hard.
It is for a lot of folks. You know, that's one of those things I'm generally a patient person, but every now and then it just pops up and it's like, okay. And you're right, you know, sometimes that hindsight is doesn't come right away, and it may be years, you know, before it actually shows up.
You got to trust that there will be hindsight. And let me just say, I'm no saint. I'm anxious as heck and I have no patience. And if I'm in traffic for a second, I'll have like a panic attack. So you know what? No one's perfect. but we're all human.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying you don't have to be a saint to have patience. Just have them the important times, but you can be impatient for traffic. That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and I do want to invite anyone, if you have any questions for Amy, you can call into the show at 619-789-4359. Or for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like to pose to Amy, feel free to type it in. And then, Amy, when we come back, one of the things I'd like to talk about is, you know, in your workshop, you talk about the gift of beautiful detours. So I kind of like to talk a little bit about that, because sometimes it seems like life is nothing but a detour.
Great.
Okay, so everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back in just about 90 seconds.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts in the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And just a real quick update, too. I just put together my 2016 nature calendars. I've got three different versions, one of a variety of nature scenes, one of birds, and one of flowers. And those, you can see videos of each of those at the website, www.biteradio.me. And as I mentioned, I really do appreciate you supporting our radio guests. And today's very special guest is Amy Ostreicher. Again, you can visit her website, amyos.com, AmyOes.com. And you can also find a link right there to a page where she talks about the different types of healing workshops that she offers in a variety of themes. So if you are an organization and would love to book Amy for any variety of motivational types of speeches, you can find that all there also. And also do want to let you know I have a direct link to that speaking information in the website, on the show page description as well. So with that, we're back, Amy.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and, you know, one of the things I really liked is you talked about the gift of beautiful detours. I would love for you to talk just a little bit about that, you know, your perspective of that, and maybe I know that your illness was probably one detour, you know, that really kind of had a major effect. But, I mean, are there any others that maybe you would mind sharing with the listeners?
Yeah, well, I sort of thought of that term based on, we'll bring you back to stories, you know, when I was trying to, you know, make amends with what had happened to me, I put myself in in Little Red Riding Hood's position. I imagined myself as sort of Little Red Riding Hood going down the path, and, you know, I saw flowers that were prettier, and I strayed off the path, and that was a detour. And what I tried to make it into is just focusing on all the beauty I saw on this detour that I probably wouldn't have seen had I gone about the life I knew. And, you know, taking that, you know, in the art studio, you know, I'll be, you know, painting something and then I'll just spill paint or half my turkey sandwich on the canvas and they'll be, you know, it will go in a totally different direction. And you know, you got to work with it. You know, beautiful detours is a phrase I made to make myself know that, you know, it's okay to work with something that doesn't go like you plan. You know, it's a waste of energy trying to make that detour go back into that straight line. And instead, you know, focus on the positive energy that, you know what, this opened my life. You know, would I ever get exposed to these people or these things? Or that, you know, I always remember that movie by Gwyneth Paltrow, Sliding Doors. You know, where it's like two frames, and one is like her life, like as it was or supposed to be, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all our lives, you know, it's fascinating for us to sort of go back in time and think, oh, if this had not happened, if this had not happened. So, you know, again, the power of language. If we just tell ourselves that we are on a beautiful detour, you know, make it beautiful. Find some sunshine. I mean, God, you know, bring me back to, you know, I remember playing Anne Frank when I was doing dramas, and I'll never forget, like, her monologue where, you know, she's in hiding in the annex, and she's telling Peter, you know, look at the sky, it's beautiful, at least we can see, you know, the flowers and the trees and the goodness of the people we know. You know, it's, again, something that's not easy, and sometimes you don't really see the beauty of your detour until you're sort of around the bend, and that's okay. You know, life isn't always, you know, you're not always going to even want to find the beautiful parts of it. Sometimes, you know, you just want to be miserable, and that's okay too. But the important part is, yeah, you know, I've been, like, depressed. I've been upset and shouting and screaming, I can't do this anymore. But, you know, it's important to just know that we got to hang in there because, you know, we can make it beautiful. You know, I mean, I think the biggest example of my life is, you know, I had my 27th surgery was just the biggest mistake of my life. And medically, things are just, honestly, for me, they're still a nightmare. But if I hadn't done that, I hadn't, you know, I would have never been in the low place I was to just be bored and create an online dating profile. And that's how I met my husband as of 2 months ago. I swear I never would have had anything to do with online dating, I swear. But just a small example. And I'm sure, you know, a good exercise for people is to think, okay, name one thing in the past year that happened that was a positive out of just a very terrible experience. And I'm sure once you think of one thing, it's sort of contagious. You'll be able to, you won't be able to stop thinking of that. And that's actually something that happened, again, when I was in the hospital for that awful surgery. I ended up with my mother every night. I would label one page A to Z, and I would make a grateful list. And just, you know, even when I couldn't think of anything, I just forced myself. And it's hard to think of the first few, but soon, you know, even just, like, you know, having that just association of, okay, you're looking for positive things, you know, it just makes things easier. And, you know, as humans, we deserve to make our lives as easy as possible. You know, to make ourselves miserable on top of everything, it just, you know, no one deserves that. So I think positive thinking is a way that we just have to, you know, brush up on.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. You know, there's a lot of, you know, what you're talking about is really just shifting your perspective on your circumstances, you know, you know, the idea of beautiful detour, you know, if you find yourself on one of those detours, you know, and you immediately, in your mind, you just say, you know, beautiful detour. I mean, immediately it shifts it from something that is bad or, you know, that is kind of taking you off course to something that maybe is leading you toward something that's even better or, you know, something to be discovered.
Right. You could have no evidence that, like, this detour in your life is leading to something better. I mean, and you could just be telling yourself, you know what, like, I have no proof, what's the point? But that's okay. You know, then call it a lie. Say you're lying to yourself until you're proven otherwise. You know, because, you know, it's hard to find hope when there's nothing, you know, screaming in your face that things will get better. There's no guarantee, you know, signed. But then lie to yourself. You know, say next week things will be better. And you know what? When you manifest something, and I hate saying that word because, you know, it can be taken in so many ways. And sometimes it feels a little just like, oh, you manifest things. But, you know, manifesting something is just planting a seed in your head. And, you know, once you have that seed, you know, it's in you. So, I don't know, you just gravitate towards positivity if you just manifest it, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, and I, you know, there have been, I've read so many books, you know, about the idea of, you know, of positive thinking and, you know, also to, you know, recognize that there are points that, you know, that circumstances may just look so that you don't really want to lie to yourself. And well, you said lie, but I think that the idea of being realistic. So whenever I plant those seeds, you know, instead of saying, you know, it's going to get better next week, it's like, it's, you know, things are changing now for the better, or something to the effect of where I don't deny the current, you know, situation, but
right.
I also allow for something better to happen, you know.
Yeah.
So
one thing I learned the hard way is when you pretend bad feelings aren't there, they just get worse, you know. So
yeah.
So I'm not saying just, you know, put on a smile and suck it up, you know. I'm saying, you know, feel those feelings. I mean, there's a book I love called Embracing Uncertainty, and I think the author actually trademarked the phrase, feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, you can't pretend like it's not there. You know, if I go skydiving, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not scared. But, you know, this is, you know, bad feelings have a lot of energy. You know, when we're angry, when we're frustrated, that's a lot of energy. So, you know, use it to your benefit. Say, you know, heck yeah, I'm angry, and I'm going to use this to catapult me forward in this way. You know, but don't pretend like you're not. You know, use that to your advantage.
Right.
Better than
yeah, exactly.
Energy.
Harness that. Yeah.
Right.
Harness that. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the one thing we know when it comes to, you know, kind of going back to the idea of the power of our story, is, you know, it seems that the people who experience adversity and transform it, you know, into something positive in their life, those are the stories that get everyone motivated. Those are the kind of inspirational stories that I think people who feel that they don't have the power to change their lives, or that they're just like you said, a victim of circumstances, you know, those are the kinds of things that plant the seed for people to recognize that it can happen to them as well.
Well, that's why I feel like the chicken soup anthologies are so popular, you know, things like that, because we like hearing those things. You know, they give us hope, even if we're not ready to admit we need that hope. You know, they help give a frame for, like, you know, just setting the stage for, okay, one day I'll be able to do that. You know, I don't think we would ever read a book so we could just tell ourselves we couldn't, you know?
Yeah.
Then
it wouldn't be a
start.
Bestseller, that's for
sure. Right.
Yeah. Now, you know, you talked about a gratitude list, you know, that was the kind of thing that helped you you know, when you are working through the hospital situation, is that something that you feel that, you know, people should do just every day as a matter of course to be able to maybe get that right mindset of,
here's the thing with
positivity.
Anything that you do daily, like journaling. I find that, you know, people, you know, me too, you know, when you say, oh, keep a daily gratitude list, people don't even want to start because the first thing they think is, I'm so busy, I can't do that every day. Like, you know, even with journaling, journaling can be like anxiety producing or just daunting. You know, some people never start journals because they wonder how they're going to just continue it. So I wouldn't even say, you know, keep a gratitude journal as a daily practice. I just say, like, today, just like make one gratitude list and maybe just do like A through M. But I'm telling you, you'll have a hard time just stopping there. but you know, just make see how it feels, and then maybe one day you'll want to make another. But you'll know if you need to make it. If you feel like
okay.
It would be good for you to force yourself to do that for a few days, yeah. But you know, it. I think whenever we say, you know, that's why no one keeps their New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There is, you know, that self-imposed. You know, idea of having to do something daily, then it falls by the wayside. But, okay, well, that's a really good point. Now, one of the things that I read about, I think it was an information you sent, is that you've indicated that you've turned your story into a choose-your-own-adventure novel. So is that how you kind of approach life now? Is that, okay, you know, this next chapter is going to be about this or that, or
I think it's an empowering way to look at it, that, you know, life happens, and we can't have, like, we can't control exactly what happens, but we can choose how we view it, you know, just look at, all right, here's another adventure, and again, it's really not easy to do all the time, because, you know, life isn't perfect, and you're going to hate things, but then again, just have the patience that you know, one day this will feel like an adventure. And, you know, whenever you see adventure movies and they're in, like, the big climax, they're not always laughing. They're, like, sweating and dramatic. Just think of it as that, you know. And, you know what I love most about where I am now? That, like, you know, there's substance to what I've been through. Like, I feel like I learned things from this, and it was hard, and things are still hard. You know, I have, like, medical things, and then I just have little things that everyone deals with that are just annoying. But I know things that I wouldn't have known before. I learned things about myself. I learned what I can handle, and I learned things about life, and you only have one life. So, you know, as long as, you know, it doesn't kill you, it does make you stronger.
Yeah, and that's, I think, you know, the key to making, you know, the most out of life is to be able to, I mean, because we, like you say, we all have, you know, everything from the mundane, you know, doing the dishes and doing the laundry to, you know, traveling across the country or traveling across the world. I mean, there's a whole variety of activities that we have in our life, and you know, being able to create our life, you know, to be able to guide it. I, you know, you mentioned about kind of doing things with purpose. You know, that to me, that's the key to giving value to what it is that you're doing.
And then, but the big thing is too, it's okay if you can't see the purpose right away. It's okay. You probably won't, but you just got to keep going. But, you know, you're a player in the bigger story, and one day you will see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I tell myself when I don't like things now. One day I'll see why this happens. And every day you
move
a little towards making that happen. And that's all.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I... you know, the idea of, like, searching for a purpose, and the one book that I had that is called It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. It's I have, you know, just different things that I've learned from people on the show. And, you know, and I basically start off by saying, you know, everybody, or it seems like there are many people who are searching for a, you know, their purpose, or their, you know, they want to live this spiritual life, you know, but it's like, but they're always searching, and it's like, you know, what are you searching for? You're not searching for a path, you know, you're on a path, you know, and stop searching, you know, because you're there, you know what I mean? And it's just a matter of the choices that you make every day, whether or not, you know, it is, you know, that you're helping people, or you're helping yourself, or your family, or you're growing, or if you're stagnant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a little example of that, when I was going through everything after the hospital and recovering from surgery, I felt so alone and so alien. But, you know, only in the past few years have I started really getting on the internet and sharing what happened to me and finding support groups and all these people. And, you know, the resources I'm finding just through, like, online forums and social media, I mean, who knew there were so many people that have been in, like, similar situations, you know? And I had no idea, and I was thinking, if I had known people were going through difficult times, you know, it would have made it so much easier for me. You know, so,
yeah.
I mean, really, we have to take advantage of the fact that we're all human and just share and connect and give and see what we can get from other people, too.
Yeah, that's real important. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a friend today, this morning, before today's show, and I think she's probably about 60, 62, and she's one person who has a story. I mean, her story is like she worked for this nonprofit and traveled to Haiti, you know, after the earthquake, traveled to Africa and was helped out there with HIV, you know, people with HIV. I mean, she's really done some wonderful things and now is kind of back in the States and kind of shifting to a new chapter. And she was like, first of all, she didn't realize that she didn't think that she had a story to tell. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, compared to people that I've talked to, you've got one heck of a story. Not only that, but she was also today she was talking about how difficult it is for her to put herself out there and I guess it was kind of like she explained that, you know, it was coming from she had a background in an alcoholic family, and it was dangerous in a way to put yourself out there, to be noticed and that kind of thing. It was better to be, you know, kind of behind the scenes, you know. But now recognizing that that was, you know, an incorrect kind of, a belief system, you know, and is now kind of putting herself out there. But like you say, that, you know, if it weren't for the people out there telling their stories, people wouldn't recognize that, you know, they're not alone, you know. And in many cases, it takes courage to do that.
Right. But, you know, some people are more ready than others, you know. And you mm-hmm. have to get to that point, you know. And people feel differently about how much they want to share and how much they don't.
Right.
It's fine. You know, to this day, I'm doing all this writing about, you know, my life and my philosophy. And my dad will call me and he'll say, you know, are you sure you really wanted to say all that? You know, and some, you know, I question whether I would, you know, that I do share. And some stuff I don't share. But, you know, I think we all have to, you know, find that comfort, you know, a balance of, you know, comfort, what we feel comfortable sharing with others and what we feel like, you know, we need to share it with the world.
Yeah.
So everyone goes up
well, Yeah, I agree. And you know, we do have filters, and when it comes down, you know, when I told her when we were chatting, I said, well, you know, I also had similar reservations when it came time for me to start the radio show 5 years ago. You know, it was like, do I really want to put myself out there and talk, you know, even though I'll be talking about other people's stuff, my stuff is surely going to come out, you know. But then it was, you know, I finally got out of my own way and said, sure, why not, you know. And you know, like most people, there are some things I share and some that I don't. But But what I've found is that more often than not, that by sharing the information, there will be someone out there who will resonate with it and who may feel a little bit more empowered or a little bit more courageous to be able to share their story with someone else. And that's, to me, that's what's important.
And the first step is really, you know, who cares about getting it out there? The first step is being able to express it for yourself. And something I remember about being on the Today Show, you know, when Kathy Lee and Hoda had the segment that I was on, I was thinking about it. It's called Everyone Has a Story. It's not like, oh, the inspiring story of the week. It's that everyone has a story, and this is one of the stories we're having on. And that's really how, you know, you have to approach it, you know, that we all have floated or you know, I, you know, became a teacher or I fell in love, you know, we all have a story. And it doesn't matter, you know, who you shared or how you shared or, you know, just to start framing your own life as a story. And then, you know, then I think it opens possibilities for you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, some of them are romantic comedies. Some of them are horror stories, you know. But it can all have a good ending, you know. They can all, you can always win at the end. So, but that's the important part. The important part is to write your own story, to help, you know, create the chapters that you want to see, create the experiences that you want to have, and keep the connections with the people who are supportive and loving. And if there are people out there, you know, someone said they're always behaving, you know, if there are those people out there who are disagreeable or contrary to you, you know, you don't have to share with them. I mean, they don't have to be a part of your story.
Or they can just, you know, every story needs a villain, right?
There's a protagonist, or the protagonist. Yeah, but in the end, you overcome them. Yeah, but you know, you might keep them in your story just long enough to be able to overcome, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to throw at you.
I think my biggest example is, you know, I premiered my show Gutless and Grateful in 2012, and right after that was when I had that awful surgery. And, you know, I was in the hospital for a good 4 months or so. And so I did my show again the next year. And so I just added, like, an extra 5 minutes to my show about it because I said, you know what, if this surgery didn't do me any good, it's at least going to give me more material for my show.
Exactly. Well, guys, we're down toward the end of the show, Amy, here, so we got like a few more minutes left. So if you would you mind sharing with the listeners, you know, I indicated that you do, you know, motivational talks and workshops. Can you talk a little bit about that? So if there's anyone out there listening, you know, maybe they can go ahead and book you for that.
Right. Well, you know, I'm doing a show in a few different formats. You know, I always love doing it as theater, but what inspired me was when people, you know, really felt like they wanted to start telling me their own stories or they needed hope or something like that. So I'm actually in Kansas City this month going to be working with the Transformative Language Arts Network, and I'll be using a show in a workshop format where I'll be doing a show, but then, you know, it'll be a tool to help people start sharing their own stories. So that's like a workshop I can do, and I'm planning on traveling, so book me and I'll come to you. I'm also doing this show as a motivational speaking thing for conferences. I'm hoping to hit a few colleges, you know, where I do the show. And then I do, like, a little talk back about, you know, the power of stories and, you know, and resources that, you know, can help us through those stories. So those are my two big plans for this year. I'm hoping, you know, to really reach out to some organizations and schools and hospitals and things like that and make an impact.
Yeah, well, that's great. I think that's great. And gosh, you know, I just realized now I introduced you as Amy Ostreicher, but I didn't use your married name. So I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's my professional name. It's all good.
Okay. Well, you know, it was wonderful to see, to follow you and also see, you know, you and your husband. I mean, it was great, you know, wedding pictures and all that kind of thing, too. So, you know, it's nice to see that you've got a brand new chapter of many chapters. So, well, listen, this has really been fun. Now, people can follow you on Facebook and on Twitter, correct?
I just got Twitter and I'm addicted, so definitely follow me. I'm the same as my website, AMYOES, Amy Oes, and that's my website too, so easy to remember.
Absolutely, it is. It is, and I want to thank you for also being part of my Facebook inspirational group and posting there. I really appreciate that. I like to me, it's always nice to have optimistic and uplifting people sharing their comments. So I want to thank you for that as well.
Thank you. It's been great.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, Amy, for joining me today and talking about the power of our stories. I really appreciate your time.
So today,
I
read a good book.
Good. Thank you. Okay, everyone, again today, my very special guest has been Amy Oestreicher. We've been talking about the power of our stories. Again, as Amy indicated, you can find her at her website, amyoes.com, AMYOES.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And also on her webpage is a link to the information about her motivational program in speaking, as well as there is a direct link to that page in the show page description. So you have plenty of places to find Amy and follow her on Facebook and Twitter. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.